Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. It's unfortunate, but it's true that the American people have no idea all the things that have been done over the years in their name by the CIA. A generation or more ago, when the Shah was toppled in Iran, and the people took to the streets shouting death to America, few people watching at home here in the U.S. had any idea about the role of the CIA in the coup that installed the Shah there. In fact, the CIA lied for decades in denying any involvement. The CIA missed the impending collapse of the Soviet Union. In fact, its assessment of the Soviets and their strength was so utterly off the mark that some wonder if the books were cooked. It missed the 9/11 attacks, and U.S. intelligence was clueless, or as the Washington Post put it, was caught flat-footed by ISIS sweeping across Iraq. So maybe we should ask for our $70 or $80 billion back, the money we spend on intelligence gathering. But there's more to the story. There is also the matter of torture in our name. And that, Dr. Paul, is reason enough to shut the CIA down.
There's no doubt about that. And like you say, if the American people knew more about it, they would be much more concerned. You know, I've spent a lot of time talking about another secret organization called the Fed, and I have a little book called End the Fed. Maybe it's time to write a book called End the CIA as well. One point that I've frequently made while being in Congress is that both of those organizations are very powerful and both are very secretive. You can't find out much information about them. So if you want to find out what the Fed did during the bailout and who got the bailouts and what happened to these trillions of dollars, very, very difficult, and they protect that privacy. Well, the same thing is true about the CIA, and I think they're very similar. They claim that a member of Congress has the right to know and find out more about the budget, but believe me, it's very difficult. I've tried to do it, and it's hard to figure out. You have to go to a dark room. You can't take notes or anything else, and you just go through these massive number of papers to try to figure out what they're doing. So it is very, very secretive. And I've always thought of the two organizations as being completely separate, but I've also challenged our Federal Reserve System that they at times are very much involved in foreign policy. How can they bail out a country or banks and be involved overseas and financing rogue organizations? And there's been plenty of rumors about the Fed working along these lines. It was said that the Fed had something to do with some of these, arms shipments to Iran back in the 80s. So it's an organization that certainly needs a lot more exposure. Many years ago, when I first went into Congress, this probably would have been in the 70s, an individual got in contact with me, and you probably, Charles, will remember the name. He was from the old right. His name was Dan Smoot, and he was a great patriot. And he told me a startling story about the CIA. He had been in the CIA, which was not the CIA, it was OSS, during World War II. During that time, he was also in the FBI. And while he was an FBI agent, he was given the task of reviewing the resumes for the individuals they wanted to put into the CIA. And he was a very patriotic, diligent person, believed in doing the work that he was told to do. So he went over this large number of lists. And as everybody can recall, right after the war, there was all this Red Scare going on. You know, we had the Alger Hisses around, and everybody was worried about the infiltration of the communists. So this was a very, very real thing going on. So he went through a large list, had two stacks, and then turned it over to the people under Truman's administration to establish, this CIA. And he was dumbfounded when they took the pile that he wanted to exempt and use them. And the people he thought were trustworthy, they were exempted. So it wasn't started on a good footing. And I think it's just an unbelievable story about how it got started. But the CIA has been into mischief ever since. I think the most famous that we still have to deal with and even came up in the campaign, and that is the blowback symptom of when we get involved. And we're involved in so much, but right now, of course, the big issue has been what was the involvement of the CIA in the torture during the last 10 years as we've had to not fight the communists, we had to fight all the terrorists and the potential terrorists. So the CIA was very much involved in torture. But over the years, and it continues to do so, the CIA is so often involved in election. And like you pointed out in your opening, they don't help us very much, and they make all these mistakes. And just think of just in recent history in being involved in Libya, they sure straighten that place out. We get involved in these civil wars and we throw out one government and we go back and forth on the groups we support. The weapons we send over get lost. And then there's chaos and a real mess. I mean, we can look at Libya, we can look at Egypt, we can look at Syria, now look at Ukraine. Every time we go into these places, we always say, well, we're spreading democracy and demand that they have elections. Of course, when the elections don't go well, then we have, a problem. If we can rig the election, which is the job of the CIA, then we are very pleased. But somebody on the inside told me once, he says, they never demand elections if they have a thug running a country that's our friend. But if there's a thug running the country, he's not our friend. That's when we insist on democracy, and we have to have an election. So one thing I remember also that Dan Smoot told me that why he was so much, not only the way it originated, but so much opposed to the organization. He described in principle like this, to have a secret government, literally secret, and nobody seems to have any responsibility. And even the presidents don't know what's going on. And sometimes the people suspect that the CIA gets involved in assassinations and all these other things that go on. But to see the CIA has done more harm than anybody can imagine. And yet there's so little known about it. And the wars that have gone on, they've always been involved. They're always in collusion with the special forces. And they want to always run the show. But the other point I wanted to mention about Dan Smoot was he said the reason you don't want a secret organization like the CIA is when you think of it, it's totally secret government. And it's absolutely incompatible with a Republican form of government. And when you think about it, it is. It total undermines it. So no matter how many elections you have, if the CIA is a government unto itself and they can kill people and assassinate people around the world, stir up trouble, and nobody's responsible, it is totally contradicts the whole principle of a republic that is designed to protect the liberty of each individual. But this has generated a lot of problems for us, and unfortunately, it's very rarely discussed. How often do you hear the pros and cons discussed about the CIA, and yet they have so little record of successes. They spend a lot of money. They've been involved in drug dealings. They've been involved in so many overthrows that have gone awry that you would think just out of practicality, we as a people would give up on them. But for some reason, it never gets onto the front pages and therefore, I guess, goes on and on. But if we truly want to restore liberty to this country and believe in very limited government, believe me, we would not have a CIA running around the world just getting us into more trouble and undermining our national security.
Dr. Paul, what is your understanding about the status of this report that we have been waiting for involving the Intelligence Committee's investigation into the intelligence community's use of torture, a report that was incidentally sufficiently worrisome to the CIA that they actually broke into the computers of Senate staffers, and the declassification and release of this report?
Yeah, this is fascinating because this is a sign of a little bit of hope. And I think Ron Wyden is the one in the Senate that's really pushing on this to release this report. Evidently, he's on a committee and already has seen it. But they're always saying, oh, national security interests. How many times have we heard that? We can't release information for national security reasons. But I think that's going to get out. And evidently, it really contradicts what the CIA is saying, and they're squirming. And let's hope that the whistleblowers come forth and the few members of the Congress and the Senate that we have will be determined to get that information out for us.
All right. And one last point, you referred to blowback and Chalmers Johnson's description of blowback in his great books about the American empire was not only that it was repercussions that the American people suffer from our foreign interventions and meddling overseas, but one other component of the description of blowback is that the people must not know, the people have no idea that it is a payback or a consequence of what we've done. They believe that it just happens out of the clear blue sky.
Yeah, and it's because they're bad people and we're good people and they're attacking us. I can recall one time bringing this up on a major talk show. I said, well, if you want to understand what's going on with our conflict with Iran, we have to go back and look at what happened in 1953. And the host immediately interrupted me. We don't want a history lesson. We don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about how we're going to kill the bad guys, you know, and go over that. That's how closed-minded they are. And you know, one thing about Americans, there's a lot of goodness in America and a lot of good people, but it seems as a generalization, Americans have a short memory. They don't remember that stuff and they're not too interested in it. They live day to day, instant gratification, and this seems to get worse. But people in the Middle East, you know, especially in the Arab world, they never forget anything. I mean, they remember stuff not 5 years ago or 1973. They remember the Crusades, and they were annoyed when our president, when Bush was in office, he said, when we had to retaliate against 9/11, he was going into the Middle East and have another crusade. Well, all of a sudden they found out, oh no, that's over the top. You can't do that. That'll just make our problems worse. But they have long memories. We have short memories. But you know, history is so important. If you don't even pay a little bit of attention to it, you can't understand the motivations. It just doesn't happen out of the clear blue. And unfortunately, you know, if you take a group like Arabs and Muslims, just like all religion, the really radical, violent part of that group is probably very, very small, and they get 99% of the, you know, of the publicity, and the rest is hidden. So they have to build up the war propaganda, keep it going. You have to have a Hitler to hate. And on it goes. And behind it all, unfortunately, is the CIA in there agitating it. And the other thing that I came around to understanding a little bit better, because others in Washington told me this, that if you were in the State Department and at an embassy, the CIA, of course, was always there, but there was always a collusion with the CIA and some of the financial interests, big business. It's commercial interests that are involved too, in getting a secret commercial information. So it's not only the military and the political, there's also the commercial interests that the CIA actually gets involved in.
Well, you've done a great job over the years awakening the American people to what actually goes on with these governmental agencies. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for another informative conversation and podcast. And we'd like to thank you for listening and for telling your friends about the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.